This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number 2, Football Sunday. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz on the ones and twos. We got Red Zone on the TV. We hope you do as well. Maybe your game of choice if you're a Sunday ticket guy. But hopefully you have us on the dial, on the radio dial, on the app, even on the desktop or on the phone, on YouTube.
Yeah.
Or any
however,
of those.
However you can get it.
However you're listening, just please stay listening.
Man, right? Since Red Zone got started, it's just so hard to watch individual games, I feel like.
It kind of is,
it's, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually kind of prefer individual games
okay.
at points. You know, I feel like you can't. Red Zone doesn't tell the whole story of
it does
what
not.
A team looks
it's
like
true.
And everything. So,
but it is tough because it's like, well, I want to know what's happening in all these games.
Yeah.
And, you know, but... And this is what kind of kills me is like there's some people out there in the sports media landscape that come across as if they watch every single game, every
Absolutely.
Second of every. And it's
Seriously.
Just, and it's just like it's just yeah, it's not possible. Like, I understand if you granted we don't do this job for a living, so they might have more time throughout the week to.
Well, you kind of do
go back. Well, I don't. I'm still working.
Yeah,
I still have
yeah.
a job. Like, you know, yes, I am an Odyssey employee,
at
but
a
I'm not.
Place.
I'm just not sitting at my desk watching film Monday
no.
through Friday.
No, but like a lot of these guys have producers. Some of these takes are already pre-thought out, pre-written out, and they're either reading them off
them.
A prompter or off a set of bullet
yeah.
points. And sometimes that's them coming up with it earlier in the week, but a lot of times it's like, this show, I'm the only producer. But like all those people, they got like 10
they
people
have a team.
Stuff.
They have
yeah.
teams of people yeah. like coming up with stats real fast. And like these dudes aren't that smart. And like, I think some of them are, you can hear how smart a Tony Romo is when he's talking about, okay, this is about to be a pass. Watch with the see. Okay, you can find out how smart somebody is as a football player, you know, at that point. But for the most part, nobody's just sitting around, like you say, for 4 or 5 hours a day just looking at film.
Some guys might, but again, there are some dudes out there that come across
they're called quarterbacks.
That they're able to watch every single minute of every single game, and yeah. And it's just it's not possible, right? I'm calling bullshit on that.
No, unless you're a quarterback, unless you're a star DB or linebacker, like you're not sitting there like picking apart every single piece of film.
Watching the All-22.
Mel Kiper.
I do like to watch the All-22, but not of every game. Actually, and that is with Red Zone, you get that too. You can watch the All-22 of the NFL teams.
Yeah, if you have like the NFL Plus or NFL that, Premium.
And, yeah, that's how I do Red Zone, so it's really fun.
You can get access to it, yeah. The film that you might not want to watch this week in college football was the Oregon State Air Force game.
gosh.
This is getting like it was already bad, but oh my god. The Oregon State, they go to their third quarterback in as many weeks, go to Jabari Johnson yesterday, and this was the worst offensive output. Like it was bad the last 3 weeks, like with Javonte McCoy, it was bad, weeks. And it was like, okay, we need to make a switch here. And then you go to Gulbranson, and it was like, okay, this is pretty bad too. We need to make a switch. And they go to Jabari. I don't know if Gulbranson was injured, what the case was there. I wasn't really, you know, following the it's been tough to follow the Beavers in general, but it's not like I was looking at injury reports or looking up. I just saw that, all right, this Jabari Johnson kid's going to be starting. They did not even get 200 total yards of offense. They didn't even have 100 yards at halftime. It was painful to watch, and this is going to get even worse before it gets anybody. We could be getting into some real dark times for the next few years for the Oregon State Beavers, because at this point, what is the indicator that the situation is going to get better for the Oregon State Beavers? There is none. Like, you are playing a Mountain West schedule, and you're getting boat raced. Like, you are getting embarrassed by these teams. And until you have a solid foundation structure of, all right, this is our team. This is where we are. This is our conference. This is our future. This is who we are. Then you can start to build on that. But until you figure that out, it's going to get ugly. It's going to be a few years of crap.
And what's so crazy is the team that's supposed to be comparable to them is Washington State. And they're having a great season. I mean, mind you, obviously, you know, a big loss, you know, yesterday, but Washington State is 8-2. You know, they're sitting here looking like, man, we've actually taken this Mountain West schedule or this kind of just thrown together schedule that we have, and we're making the most.
It was a bad day for the Pac-2 yesterday.
No, it was not a great day for the Pac-2, especially when the only other team is getting beaten up by a team that has, what, three wins?
Yeah, Air Force, they've been playing better lately, but again, you were favored. That was your chance. Like, you had to win a couple of these last games to get bowl eligible, and now that's the death knell. You're playing Boise State and Washington State to finish the season. There goes your bowl eligibility.
No,
you need a miracle to beat both of those teams.
And you're not going to beat either one of those teams. And, like, it's been a free fall for the last 5 weeks for Oregon State. And luckily, we talked about it before, Jordan and I were actually at one of those games.
We watched the start of it.
Where they kind of start falling. But actually, it started the week prior when they lost to the other Nevada team, Nevada. And then they just haven't been able to figure anything out. It's become...
At least they were in those
two games. Really hard. It's become really hard to watch Oregon State play.
And it's
really hard to watch.
I tuned it on. I had it on the quad box on YouTube TV yesterday. And so I was watching this, and it was brutal. And credit to Air Force. I mean, they played a great game as well. I mean, they were a load to deal with anyways. But it's bad. When you have an offense that is literally unable to do anything, you're putting your defense back out there time and time again, and that's what you're going to get.
Hoping for the best. And, I mean, Trent Bray, I'm not sure if he's the guy.
Yeah, what have we seen?
But, again, I just think you're in a losing situation,
no,
regardless
totally.
Of who you put out there as the coach.
Yeah, you were, and it's been you've spent some time trying to figure out how to get back to it. But you look at their season last year, and you say there's no way that this team should look like this year, even with some key losses that you have. Losing Damian Martinez this year was a huge blow. And I think you thought that you got Jam Griffin and you have a good running core here, and then Jam isn't really
He goes down.
And so there have been some things. You don't have a starting quarterback, which has been the issue for Oregon State now for the past, what, since Derek Anderson? Seriously, who's that?
Jake Luton.
Jake Luton finished strong. Jake Luton, you know, but again, it's been those two guys in the last, let's be honest, 20 years. When is the last time Oregon State has had a legit quarterback that we can say, okay, like he's going to go ahead and make some noise here on the next level, or at least get your team to a position to be bowl eligible every year? And it's been a long time. Javonte McCoy seems like a great kid, but unfortunately, I don't think he's a starter for a big school like Oregon State.
What's the phrase? Like when you have two quarterbacks, you have none. When you have three quarterbacks, do you have issues? That's a good one. Yeah. So when you have two quarterbacks, you have none. When you have three, you have issues. I like that. I do think also the issue lies with Trent Bray. People, Joe, you asked the question to start, like, you know, what do the Oregon State Beavers have to build on, you know, from this season? Is there anything positive? No. And really, I key in on that looking at Trent Bray. And I don't mean to attack the dude personally, but he was elevated. Obviously, Oregon State, you know, didn't really have many options at the head coaching position, but he was elevated at a time where I'm not sure he was really ready to organize a program, to lead practices, and to be that CEO. That's really what you hear a college football coach having to do, really be the guy that's, you know, both of his hands all over the organization, is what I'm trying to say. And I'm just not sure, you know, under Dennis Erickson and then a couple of years in Nebraska and under Jonathan Smith again, that he actually got, you know, fully developed to be able to do that, or if he even is the guy that is ever able to do that. So, you know, you wonder where they're going from here. I don't know. I wish they would have gotten a guy like Bronco Mendenhall, somebody with head coaching experience to come in through these tumultuous times. That's not the biggest name.
Where's Bronco at?
He got hired, it's not San Jose State, but it's like one of the smaller schools either in the Mountain West or
University of New Mexico Lobos, who just got a win last night.
That is the Mountain West, right? Yeah, Sam. Yeah, there we go. University of Mexico. So, no, I wish that they would have gotten somebody with experience, and I really think that, along with, you know, basically no talent at the quarterback position,
they got some issues.
It's settling the future for you, unfortunately.
Well, yeah.
Who wants you now?
Yeah.
Like if the Big Ten didn't want you then, in the ACC, or, you know, who wants you now?
They gotta get something figured out.
At least last year.
Again, if you don't have any foundation of what you are as a school, where you should be, I mean, you have no home, you're lost.
Homeless.
Yeah. And so until you are able to have and know who you are and stop playing games, as far as like, oh no, we are a Power 5 team. We just were, but we can't really compete against, you know, Mountain West teams this year. But that's just because we're in a bet. Like, once you get that all figured out, then you can start maybe rebuilding this program to where it can be competitive.
The homeless ass Beavers. They put their clothes on a stick on their shoulder like this, and
with like the
and walk around like a bindle.
Yeah.
That's what's happening right now with Oregon State. The way things are going, nobody's going to want you anytime soon. And that sucks, because now you actually have a cool stadium.
Well, we go from one bad offense in college to one bad offense in the NFL. And I have to ask, why are we doing this? We do this every time. I'll get to that next here. Football Sunday, 10 of the Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. We were talking about the Beavers' putrid offense. Let's talk about the Bears' putrid offense. But I said before we went to break, like, why do we do this? We do this every time. With rookie quarterbacks in their second year, even
the Bears. Is that,
and I don't know if it is, I don't know if it's the age we're living in nowadays, but it's, everything is so knee-jerk reaction. I mean, we can't even get through a quarter of a game without being like, this team sucks, I knew this is how it would go, and we're already just crowning, knighting, vindicating people, we're tearing them down. I mean, right now on Red Zone, it's showing the Steelers-Ravens game. The first game that Russell played in, there was people at halftime that are like, well, this Russell Wilson experiment isn't working out. It's like,
oh, he's already missed two games. We need to go ahead and start Justin Fields over him. I knew he was better. Russell's been washed.
Yeah, one quarter and it is decided. No more. And so, listen, I did not have a lot of confidence for Caleb Williams coming into this season. I knew that he was going to have to be coached and taught a lot of things as far as, like, getting rid of the ball, not playing hero ball, not scrambling around and trying to run all over the place to try and make something happen. Be a pocket quarterback, but also you got to make your decisions quick in the NFL. It's one, two, bam, make a choice. Go through your reads, get the ball out of your hands. And he's struggling to do that right now. But the idea of benching him, the idea of being like, well, Caleb Williams, I don't know, maybe I was just wrong on him. He is a rookie that has played 10 to 11 games. I understand it has not looked good lately. He had some games where it did look good. I just don't get why year after year, and maybe what it is that there is a quarterback in the class that is obviously playing above everybody else, right? Jaden Daniels right now is the standard. He is the bar for this rookie class. So when you are watching one quarterback have success versus a number one overall Caleb Williams 2 years ago, you have Bryce Young and you have C.J. Stroud. And C.J. Stroud, it's like, all right, well, that's the standard right now. It seems like we are just so quick. I mean, we were doing this a few years back when Tua was in the league, right? And then it turns out, oh, once you get rid of Brian Flores and get a offensive-minded coach like Mike McDaniel there, and look at him now. Now he is – that Miami offense is night and day difference when Tua is playing versus when he is not. I just don't get why we do this year after year. The jury is still out. You know, wake me up in 3-4 years and tell me what Caleb Williams is like then. And then we can make some decisions, right? Maybe it's just the day and age. We can't let we can't have nuance. We can't have a sample size more than just a few games to, you know, decide if someone is great or not. But we're doing it again, and hopefully that Caleb Williams can get it figured out, because, you know, I would like to see him succeed. I would like to see the Bears succeed. I just thought it would take a little while, and sure enough, he's a rookie. Look what happens. Look what's happening.
Well, and I think, you know, it's a couple things. One, Washington has finally cleaned house, and they finally did all the things they were supposed to do, getting rid of a crap owner, you know, changing their, rebranding themselves to, you know, the Commanders.
New head coach.
You know, new head coach. They did all the things
new
they
were OC. Supposed to.
Everything about it is new. You know, you've got, you know, a good receiver, a good solid number one, and Terry McLaurin, that's going to be there, you know, for you if for a young quarterback. You know, you've got a good enough running back, you know, for the most part. And Brian Robinson, that's there, that can make some
Austin
noise
Eckler
for you.
You picked you up
Austin
as well.
Austin Eckler, you know, you put things around this young rookie to make things not as difficult for them. The Bears have been in disarray since what? I mean.
Well, and to their defense, they did that this offseason too. You know, they drafted Rome Odunze.
They
got DJ Moore.
They kept Eberflus.
But that is, I think, where some people are
wondering, like, was that the right move? Like, you got rid of Luke Getsy as OC, which was the right move. I mean, hell, he didn't even make it a full season with the Raiders this year. So that move right there, I was like, okay, that's good enough. But yeah, you still rolled with Eberflus, and that is looking like he's gone after this year.
He's not the guy.
Unless they make a magical run. And kind of he saved his job last year with the run towards the end of last year, too.
He did. And a lot of that was based on the progression of Justin Fields, right? And Justin Fields starts the season with the Steelers, and what do you know? Like, Justin Fields can play a little bit. Okay, he's not as good as Russell Wilson, which is why he's not starting right now, but he can play. And I think just Chicago has just been set up for failure. They did try to make some adjustments and try to you draft a Rome Odunze, like you said, but he hasn't really came to fruition yet. Like, he's still working on becoming that guy. But this is what fans do. Fans are impatient. And when you see a guy like Patrick Mahomes come out in his first year and never look back, it's like, oh, okay. You know, like, this is what we expect the trend to be. And you look across the league at Jaden Daniels, and he's doing what he's doing. And then you look at your number one overall pick. And here's the cool part. If you are pick number one, you're going to a trash team. Let's just say that football, basketball, baseball, whatever the sport is, if you're drafted first overall, that means you're going to a franchise that was just the worst or among the worst teams in the league. And so putting this new quarterback there and a new receiver doesn't necessarily change that. I'll say this, Chicago's playing better this year than they were at this point in the year last year. So even with the couple losses, so it's still a lot of season to play. This is only what, week 9? Week 10?
We're week 11.
Is it week 11 already?
Yeah. You look up.
Yeah, week 11. So even still, there's still 7 weeks of football left to play.
Here's the thing that is not in the Bears' favor is schedule. They have to play the entire division still. Everybody, Minnesota twice, Detroit twice, Green Bay twice. They're playing Green Bay today. And then I believe they're two non-conference or non-divisional games are against the 49ers mm-hmm. and the Chiefs, if I'm correct on that. Someone can find that out for me. But they have one of the toughest – I think they have the toughest remaining schedule.
So they have the
the entire division.
They're playing the Packers now, so they're playing – they have the Vikings, the Lions, the 49ers, the Vikings again, the Lions again, and then the Seahawks and Packers.
The Seahawks, that's who it was. Correct. Okay. So. Well,
and then quickly, as far as, like, quarterbacks, you know, being turned over so quickly after being an early draft pick, that's just kind of, unfortunately, the way of the world now. It's not – when we were kids, it's not like it was when Tim Couch got four seasons with the Browns. Jason Campbell, you know, with the Redskins at the time, I think he got 3 or 4 seasons. There's just example after example of head coaches lasting longer at that point, you know, high draft picks lasting longer at that point. Joey Harrington even got multiple seasons in Detroit. I'm not sure that a high draft pick gets more than 2 seasons at this point because a football coach isn't getting signed to more than a 3 or 4 year deal. And if he's got a bad season, I'm not saying that every owner's like this, but we are seeing more and more reactionary behaviors like a Dave Tepper, for instance, in Carolina, going through 3 head coaches in 3 seasons. Yeah, that's not every owner, but it's not just the fans. Everybody wants results, and they want results now. I don't know if it's just the human condition, or maybe it's the amount of money that has gotten absolutely insane that they have to invest into each player.
Well, I think that, you know, it's a case-by-case basis, in a sense, too, right? Like, I mean, we look at Arizona. I believe it was they had who at quarterback before Kyler Murray? Was it Josh Rosen? And then they were like...
Yeah, he was there. He was their guy.
And then right after... Was that who they had before Kyler? And then they had the number one pick, and it was like, dude, you just took a quarterback with your first-round pick.
Was it Josh Rosen?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think
he was the 10th pick in the 2018 draft.
Yeah, and then in 2019 draft, they have the number one overall pick, and they're like, listen, I know that we just took a quarterback.
But we have this guy.
But we have the number one pick, and Kyler Murray is looking like the best player possible on the board, best quarterback. I mean, maybe we pull the plug on this Rosen experiment and go with Kyler and start fresh there. So, I mean, that worked out. I mean, look at the Cardinals now, right? You get a healthy Kyler Murray on this on a Cardinals team, and they're usually winning games. Mm-hmm. So I get it. I mean, we did this with Josh Allen, right? And now he could be winning an MVP this year. So it's just our patience And it, granted, it is case by case, team by team. There are some owners, some front offices that are quick trigger, and they want to turn this around and make it a winning team sooner than later. And I think that the Bears and the Bears fan base and
they're impatient now.
Like,
it's been a while.
They expected it to be automatic. Hell, yeah. I had them in the playoffs. I was buying the Kool-Aid after thinking that was going to be a rough rookie year for Caleb. I started buying in to this team a little bit more as the season approached, and I had them in the playoffs. And I mean, it's going to be, it's going to probably take another offseason to fix some of the things that Caleb Williams needs to get better on.
I'll say this though, you know, at the moment, Caleb Williams has what, 4 wins under his belt. You know, another 3 wins for a season. That's a solid rookie season, right? You know, and so I still think that, you know, you see the talent is there. And I think that's the thing about Caleb Williams. We're looking at him. We're not saying this kid's a bust. We're just saying I think the Bears feel like they should be better right now. But it's going to take a little bit. You clearly see you have a talented quarterback. You have a talented wide receiver, or really a receiver room. You have a talented, you know, group there. It's just going to take some time. And you play in a division that's not easy to win. And I think that's the other part they have to take into consideration. Like, you have to play in a really tough division that continues to get better for the most part.
Yeah, it's again, don't understand why we do it, but nothing's going to change now. We're very reactionary, and we want instant answers on some of these guys, and it's going to take a little bit. So, all right, we have a very interesting week where it's something happening is the first time since the 70s, and I want to talk about one of the marquee matchups on the NFL schedule. We'll get to that next year, but first, Jordan Schultz with a SportsCenter update. For the first time since 1970, we have a week of NFL football that has 3 matchups of teams with at least 7 wins. So in this week 11, we have on Thursday night, we had the Commanders-Eagles. Right now, we have the Steelers-Ravens. And then later today, we have the Bills versus the Chiefs. Let's start with the game that already happened, the Commanders and Eagles on Thursday night. And as you guys know, being a Cowboys fan, one of the teams I loathe the most in this world are the Philadelphia Eagles. Absolutely cannot stand that team, that fan base, everything about that franchise. And it seems to me that their quarterbacks, I mean, their team gets propped up a lot, I think, in the media. But Jalen Hurts, to me, is there another quarterback in the league that has that type of weapons and wins games despite his performance? Like, that team wins despite Jalen Hurts. When you have Saquon Barkley, when you have the offensive line that you do, when you have the weapons that you do, it seems like he should be able, like, he would be the next part to take this team and make it much better than it is. But I am just always underwhelmed by Jalen Hurts' performance and what he is as a quarterback.
Dang, that's a tough question.
I'm trying to think of, again, any other quarterback in the league that is propped up by his team more than him. If you take a lot of quarterbacks and give them that team, then they're an automatic contender.
Depending on the year, Dak.
I would say the Niners,
is one of those things. I was going to say Brock Purdy.
I would agree with you on Dak. You know, I feel like when he does not have the pieces around him, then, you know, granted, that's for a lot of quarterbacks. You know, like, there are some quarterbacks that are able to make their teammates better and make their team better by how they play and how the offense is schemed. But, again, I am underwhelmed by Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, it's not pretty football, especially when you look at some of the quarterback play right now. Like, you look at the fact that you can't really touch quarterbacks and they're just like throwing the ball. They hit every blade of grass out there. I just feel like sometimes Jalen Hurts just is moving too fast, or like something in his brain is still kind of moving too fast either way, because he should be better. And his numbers aren't bad because he doesn't throw a bunch of picks. He doesn't make a lot of interceptions, but he also makes a lot of scoring plays either.
I feel like he doesn't really throw that much at all.
No.
It's kind of like a Bill Belichick managing a Mac Jones, like, in his rookie season and able still to get the Patriots 9 wins into the playoffs. Like, Jalen Hurts actually is on pace to set a completion percentage record for himself in his career so far.
He's a game manager. And like this, I think when you look at his skill set, you say he should be more than a game manager, but the truth is that's just kind of what he is. You look at the amount of yards he throws per game, and it's almost kind of like you know, Brad Johnson type stuff, you know, 114 yards, 236 yards, 230 yards, 202 yards, 221.
He averages 220 a game, which puts him around what Trevor Lawrence is doing, what Derek Carr is doing. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is passing more per game. He's right there with Carr, Jaden Daniels, and, you know, Justin Herbert. But granted, that offense is, you know, you want to talk about a team that wins despite their not having any weapons.
Oh, for sure.
That's the Chargers. Yeah. And their offenses look better, but I digress.
No, but I think Jalen Hurts does a great job, like, of just manning the offense, making sure we don't make mistakes. You know, he's only thrown 5 picks, you know, on the season. He's thrown 12 touchdowns, which is tied for 10th in the league. So he's right there as far as what the rest of the top 10 quarterbacks are doing. He's 13th in the league as far as yards. So he's having, like, a good season. But I think once you get a guy like Saquon Barkley in your team, I'm not throwing the ball a bunch of times anymore. For what? And I think that's where they are right now. They're trying to play it safe. They're trying to keep him healthy and keep him on his feet and make sure they can make a deep run. And so far, you know, it's working out for him. Like, I don't think Jalen Hurts is good enough to be your best player right now. But luckily, in the situation he's in with Philadelphia, he doesn't have to be. Because you have a guy like Saquon Barkley who can come in and get you over 1,000 yards already at this point in the season and 8 TDs. So you can kind of lean a little bit on that. And I want to say it's the only team in the AFC, or excuse me, NFC East that has a guy like that.
Well, and I just think that when it comes to playoff time is, all right, just stop the run then. Load the box. Make him beat you. Make Jalen Hurts have to be a quarterback and throw the ball 35 to 40 times and have to dice up a defense. Like, do you think he's going to be able to do that when they need him to?
He's done it already. Like, am I tripping? They've been to the Super Bowl, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
He did get there.
Yeah. So
he had a better season that year,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but so he's done it already at this point. But he didn't have a Saquon Barkley at that time. And he didn't have somebody he can just lean on for short yard touchdowns. Usually all the short runs that were coming from Jalen Hurts. Right now, you don't have to do that anymore because you have a surefire superstar in that position to be able to take a lot of those short gains that he used to get. So I think he's just playing his position right now. Take care of the ball. Make sure we don't turn it over. Make sure we put our team in position to score. I don't have a problem with that, you know. But yeah, you look at the stat sheet every night and it doesn't wow you. You're not like, oh man, he should be up for MVP or anything based on those numbers. No, he probably shouldn't, but. At the end of the season, when his team is knocking on the door of the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl, you will say Jalen Hurts did his job.
Go to the other game with 2 7-win teams that is going on right now. That is the Steelers and the Ravens.
Let's go.
Steelers are up 3-0. The Ravens, they wish they could have 6 points right now, but Justin Tucker, he has missed 2 field goals under 50 yards.
Which is crazy
that
already.
That is, oh, good.
Might be a little old,
crazy,
man.
NFL.
Might be getting a little old now, right?
I mean, I don't know what if there was some sort of streak going on. I could have sworn there was a streak of Justin Tucker.
He's one of
field goals under 50 yards or
sure leg
40
chip shots in the league.
They're chip shots.
But he is, I mean, the last couple of weeks, because I want to say he missed a kick last week as well, but he has missed 2 field goals already today under 50 yards. I want to say one was a 48 and one was 46 or something like that. But
he had a streak of 65 made field goals in a row from 2016 to 2022. I think that's what you're probably thinking of for Jay Tucker.
But the Ravens, I mean, we've seen the Ravens offense, how they've looked this year with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. And they went and added some weapons on the trade deadline with Deontay Johnson to join Zay Flowers in the wide receiver room. But man, the Steelers, it's kind of funny, and you know, hindsight is 2020, is that a good amount of people were saying that this could be the year that Tomlin does not finish 500. I was one of them.
Yeah. Take that.
But when you look at the last couple years since Roethlisberger has been gone, this is probably the best quarterback situation that they've started the season with.
100%.
Right? They've been rolling with Kenny Pickett the last couple years. They had Mason Rudolph for 1 year. Am I forgetting anybody else? Like,
who was the starter before Roethlisberger took over? Was it Tommy Maddox? Who was it?
Oh, like, I think that's who he replaced
season.
That's
a pretty good situation to go to, not knowing what you'd have with this big guy from Ohio. But yeah, I think we owe Russ an apology. The NFL sports fans owes Russ an apology.
I
disagree with
I
that.
Don't even know. I don't even know if I need to like go back and see what my takes were on Russell Wilson, but he did not have that bad of a year.
He did
last year with Denver.
He did.
No, it was not that terrible. I just think that him and Sean Payton and how that contract were structured with the Broncos is that they needed to stop playing him because he was playing better than they wanted him to, where they were going to have to end up paying him more.
What kind of stuff is that? Like, you're doing too well for our team, and we don't want to pay you because basically we don't like you. Like, that's the craziest thing. Denver, I'm not mad. I'm glad Denver is in the position they're in right now. That was silly. What was the coach's name prior to Sean Payton?
Was it Fangio? Vic Fangio?
I can't even remember. He was forgetful because he was that bad. And so it was never Russ's fault, you know, for everything that was happening up there in Denver. But now to watch him play on this team, play with a coach like Mike Tomlin, get the best out of him.
It was Hackett. Yeah, that's Hackett, right. Yeah. Nathaniel Hackett.
Like,
yeah.
You know, the last three games Russ has started, you know, they've had like 300 yards plus passing in the last three games. Like, he's got his team sitting at what, 8-2 right now? 7-2?
7-2.
7-2. Like, get out of here, man. Russell Wilson can still play.
But seeing his performance the last couple of weeks, and, you know, Justin Fields, he started this season pretty well, but also I think you saw moments throughout those first five, six games or whatever that you're like, okay, this is Justin Fields. This is who he is. Russell Wilson makes throws downfield where you're like, yeah, Justin Fields is not doing that. Like, he is not dropping it down into a bucket. I mean, one of the best long ball, deep ball throws that we've ever seen is Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And him to just take those shots, make those throws, take those chances. The touchdown he had last week to Mike Williams. Again, it's just you see him make those plays and you remember how good Russell Wilson is and why he should have, you know, granted he had the calf injury, but why he was the number one quarterback for this team and justifiably so. Look how great he's been playing.
You think the Seahawks regret letting him go at all?
Eh.
Just considering how bad they've been?
No, and granted, it was just that relationship and that team and him, it was just, he was going to go even if they didn't trade him, right? Like, he was not going to be on that team. So
I feel like they never respected Russ in Seattle. I mean, obviously loved him because he got a Super Bowl.
He got,
never, like, that was Richard Sherman's Super Bowl. You know, that was the Legion of Boom's
Marshawn Lynch
Super Bowl. Yeah, and all those guys. Like, I feel like Russ was, he's kind of the scapegoat. Because why throw that slant right there? Well, he didn't make the call. Like, he ran the play that the coach called. So, I don't know. I feel like Russ has got a lot of flack from Seattle. I don't feel like they respect him the way that you should respect the guy that won a Super Bowl for you.
And we'll take a break and talk about this last matchup of seven win teams. Probably the matchup of the week, the Buffalo Bills versus the Kansas City Chiefs, Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. We wrap up Football Sunday next here, 1080 The Fan. Big matchup today. Also, I want to give a shout-out on the Vancouver Ford text line because showing us some love, P1 Farhad. I once imagined my Sunday without you guys. It was an awful imagination. Never again.
Good. Thank Look, you. Man, we can't imagine Thank Sunday you. Without you.
Thank you. Yeah, we literally can. I mean, imagine nobody listening to us right now.
Yeah, that would suck, man.
I mean, do you think that's ever happened? Do you ever think there has not been one radio dial not tuned in at any point? I feel like that's probably happened.
I feel like it's happened.
Like, not one person in the Portland area.
Especially at one of our 8 o'clock shows or something like that. Yeah, I feel like it's
literally
definitely happened.
Nobody tuned in.
Yeah. Like,
just
I always
talking
get,
to no one.
I always get nervous like on those days that are like there's a holiday on a Sunday or something like that. And it's like, ugh, I know nobody's listening to this show right now because nobody's in their car. So shout out to the ones that actually do.
Chiefs, Bills today. Chiefs just keep getting wins. I think the fun stat that's been going around is that teams that have started 9-0, they have the lowest point differential as a 9-0 team in NFL history. I think it's a point differential of 58. That is the lowest for a 9-0 team in NFL history. The Bills at 8-2 are looking very, very good. I'm rolling with the Bills in this game. I think they're going to win because it'd be classic for Buffalo to win a matchup like this that technically doesn't matter and then end up facing the Chiefs in the playoffs and losing that game. Because that's what seemingly happens is that They lose every time they have to play the Chiefs in a actual meaningful, impactful playoff game. As far as like head to head, I want to say that the Bills and Josh Allen actually do have the edge in strip and wins. I think in regular season games, Allen has beaten Mahomes more, but again, in the playoffs and in the games that matter the most, we know that the Chiefs have come out on top there. Yeah, Allen is 3-1 against Mahomes in the regular season. Mahomes is 3-0 in the playoffs.
Well, they're playing in Buffalo today at Highmark, so that gives the edge to the Bills. But I don't know. There's something about this NFL season.
The Bills will be playing in Harry Douglas's honor.
Yeah, you're right. You know, just because, man, that wipeout earlier, you know, I'm sure he's still sore, you know, from that. But
I'm good. I'm just a little lightheaded and bleeding out right now.
If we're being honest, Patrick Mahomes hasn't had the season Josh Allen is having, you know, so far. Although he does have a 9-0 record, Josh Allen's been playing better. He's probably the leader right now in the MVP race, if you were to ask anybody, just based on how he's played. But I don't know. I feel like this year there's, I don't want to say the fix is in, but we've seen the referees be pretty favorable to the Chiefs over the past
you think Taylor is in those meetings making calls
I think it doesn't hurt to have her in the stands every week and to show the biggest pop star in the world, you know, at your football game every single week. I don't think the NFL minds that type of publicity. You know, so yeah, I do think that, because I mean, if we look at some of these calls, some of these plays that referees have kind of flagged other teams for us, like, really? Like, you're going to put them in position to score for that? Wasn't, I don't know about that call. How many Chiefs games have we watched this season and said, I don't know about that call? Yeah, that was a bad one.
Like every team,
it seems like every game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know about that one.
Well, and I forget. Right, and this is something that's been pointed out for, you know, last couple seasons, is their right tackle seemingly just getting an early jump on passing plays
every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
No worries, apparently.
And we all know about it. It's become like a running joke amongst football fans, but it's something that they haven't called. So it's like, it's a little bit weird. I do feel like the referees are going to give us some reason to put the Bills over, put the Chiefs over today. But I think currently the Chiefs are the best team based on their record, but Patrick Mahomes has thrown almost 10 picks and 9 games. Like, so
there was a point where he had more picks than touchdowns I think through like week 7.
Yeah, you're
something
right.
Like that, week 8. So yeah, it's been a very odd season for Patrick Mahomes.
Really quickly, sticking with the AFC, Anthony Richardson 6 of 7 for almost 100 yards already. The Colts beating the Jets 10-0.
I was saying that that could be a game that the Jets lose and the Colts win.
And
the Colts are a weird team.
Yeah.
Where, like, their defense is really good. They have a good defense, and it's just when they can get the offense going sometimes, it's a good team, but a very bizarre team at that as well.
And just seeing the Jets favored just makes you want to bet against it.
Oh, it's dude. Like,
the Jets
were favored last week against the Cardinals, and I could not bet on the Cardinals any faster.
Yep.
I was like, I don't know what the hell's going on there.
That's exactly how I felt about Indy, so hopefully that stays true. Also, programming note, I'm an idiot. Ducks basketball actually is going to be on 1080 The Fan today at 3 p.m. Excuse me. They're hosting the Troy Trojans. That means Seahawks football
are kicked to 9-10.
Yeah, they're kicked over to 9-10, so you're going to be listening to the pregame in a few minutes over on 9-10, not here on 1080, excuse me.
The Seahawks have been demoted. The mighty Oregon Ducks basketball team that almost loses to the Portland Pilots and the Fighting Swigards. My God.
That was close.
Go Oregon.
That'll be the Pilots highlight right there, is them almost beating the Ducks this season.
We're in a close one. We're in a close one, guys.
Well, thank you as always. Anybody out there that is listening, another football Sunday in the bag. I believe we are at 9 a.m. again next week, and then we'll have December 1st off, so you will catch us next week before we take a little break before getting into the conference championship week there. So for Rashad Taylor, thank you as always.
My guy, gang.
Jordan Schultz, thank you as always.
Love you guys. Love you all out there. Enjoy the Sunday, please.
Yes, and all listeners, thank you for tuning in again to Football Sunday. We will catch you next Sunday at 9 a.m. Peace.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.